Almost didn't come today.
Me too.
Me three.
No, you won.
We're going to do hopefully the last verse of Ecclesiastes 11 today.
What's your hurry?
What?
What's your hurry?
Even better than that. Either over there or over here. I can't see one either if somebody's there.
We have protocols around here, Jeff.
No, it's not protocol. It's just, it gives me a pain in the ass if I can't see the people.
Some might call that protocol.
Reread in verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. That's a pretty big statement, and we've studied it extensively. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, or put away the evil of thy flesh, is the way it's another interpretation. For childhood and youth are also vanity. The idea of putting away or divorcing evil is what the New Testament calls sanctification, or holy, or... But because of our language and what we've been brought up to hear, anytime we hear the word saint, we even got people they name saints because they did stuff. Or holy, we think of something that we can't even conceive of. And it causes people, in my opinion, to give up, if you will, on a spiritual basis. Because there's something they cannot attain to because of genetics or their own peccadilloes or their own little emotional distresses. They can never attain to what the scriptures call for. And when that happens, then you try to find something less, something... And that's why we have, you know, the world is full of seeker churches or everything and anything to water down the mystery of God. And it's either that if we just go to church to see the enjoy the singing or the majesty of some display or to hear something, then we don't have to really address these words like holy and sanctification. But somehow here we've got to begin to understand truly what these words mean. And all the words that, whether it's holy or sanctify or saint or saintly or any of those words, come are the word hagios, and they come from the word hagios in the Greek. And it simply means that you would do what you're designed to do. It doesn't mean you have to attain to anything. It just simply means that you would do what you are designed to do. And that's what really everything that we've studied in the book of Ecclesiastes really tells us up till now. You just somehow, and the promise of God is, you have the capacity to do what you were designed to do. Now, but if you don't, if you've separated yourself from what you've been designed to do because of words like holy and saint, and that, what that does is it creates the sacerdotal spirit. It creates separation because you think, well, that was nice for them, or and so this idea of separation is where the word, it's from the word parash in Hebrew. It means it, and that's where we get the word Pharisee. And so a Pharisee isn't necessarily the one that is separated and made himself above everybody else. A Pharisee is also the one that has separated himself and made himself below anyone else, because it's anyone who separates. Do you understand this? What, John? You get a quizzical look. Okay. So this you have been given every tool that is necessary to accomplish the will of God in your life freely, without any. All it takes at the bottom line is your integrity. And integrity just means it just means whole. That you wouldn't, that you're not separated yourself into different pieces. So you can't say, well, this thing came upon me, and I just couldn't help it.
Like the desire to hit somebody or something. Overwhelming.
Well, you'd be better off just hitting them, whoever that might be.
If that were to happen.
If that were to happen.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Judge that.
But because hitting them and finding is much better than just beating them up in your mind.
If you thought about it, right?
But again, remember the salt shaker thing. This is a salt shaker. If it had sand in it, it would be unholy. If it had flour in it, it would be unholy. But if it has salt in it, it's holy. That's all holy means. So you were designed by God. You were created in the image or the tselem of God to contain Him. And to not contain you. Therefore, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Wherever you are, He cannot occupy. And so, whatever it is, that's why the only thing that is required of us is repentance. That's why the only thing, that, I mean, the one that Jesus said, among those born of women, He's greatest. John the Baptist. He had, there's very, very little of the words of John the Baptist. There were no, I can't remember any instructions except the only one that's clear that is rings out through eternity is bring forth fruit necessary or meat for repentance. And again, because of language, we have the same base. I mean, the root word for repentance in our language comes from probably the French, but it's for penitentiary and penance, and so we have the image of this is something that you have to cry and you have to, you know, that's just part of it. In fact, there's some, you know, we've done it where we waited for somebody to cry before we knew the repentance was true. Well, that's crap. Repentance just means leave you behind. It's not sorrowful, it should be joyful. And so when it talks about here, therefore, in the last verse, in verse 10, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from, or the evil of thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now, the scriptures call youth what 99.999999% of us do. It's that we make judgments after our senses and we follow our own lusts. We follow what we think we want. So it's endless. Youth is you know, that's why we have said so often we live in an infantile, spiritually and secularly, infantile society. And so to put away, you can't put it away, which means divorce, by the way. You can't put away, put any of this, you can't put away the evil of your flesh. What you'll try to do is you'll put away something that you think is evil. And, but that's not what it says. You have to put away, you have to divorce all of you. You have to simply get a divorce from you.
Put away your flesh, which is evil.
Everything is good and bad.
And so what you do, though, and what we all do, when we're little children, is we're in this, we're always in this little place where, well, this makes me uncomfortable, or this makes me mad, or this makes me feel bad, so I'll try to put away that, but then I'll emphasize that which makes me feel good. And so you're not putting away you're using, again, you're trying to be sanctified by sitting on the judgment seat. Do you understand that? You put away you. That's the first thing that Christ said to his disciples. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross. Those are two summary commands, and then he asked it, and then you will follow me. So abandonment, deny is apodiomai. It just means abandon. Take no thought of, about, or for yourself, positive or negative, anything. Because if you do, then you're not putting away the evil of the flesh. You're putting away what you think is evil, but you're not divorcing from you. You're going back for some, you know, some goodies in the evening or something. Well, if you want to believe psychobabble, flesh is just self-realization, whatever it is. I mean, if that's ego, I don't know what all those things mean. The id, the ego, and the superego were invented by Freud. I'm not going to pay very much attention to that.
Okay. I think when we read this almost made me laugh out loud.
Put away sorrow.
I mean, the wisest guy who ever lived writes this book. He's just spent all this time telling us about go ahead, blow it out completely, do everything there is to do. Now grow up. He's just saying grow up.
But what we, you know, what goes for super spiritualism is just infantilism. Oh, this is what God's going to do. It's like my dad's going to beat up your dad. Anybody remember that phase of your life? Well, God is going to come down and destroy those evil terrorists. No, he's not. The evil terrorists are there to reveal something to us. Well, God's going to come down and make... It's that we never endingly take stands. And the moment you take a stand, then you have not put away the evil of your flesh. You've put away what you think is evil. So you haven't divorced yourself. And so therefore, then you're surprised when a few, you know, few minutes or days or weeks later, then all hell breaks loose. Because you haven't put away the evil of the flesh, and you have confessed the fruitlessness and emptiness of the flesh, and then you still pay attention to it, you have made yourself an enemy of the Holy Spirit. You got it? You got it a little bit?
I'm having a little issue in my mind here of when we started out talking about separating, but then that's exactly what this sounds like, is separate yourself from your flesh. But
no, it just means don't give it any breath. Because I was thinking about how many times, you know, X... spouses, or let's pick on it. You're divorced. That means you have no more issues. There's no more ties. You're divorced from you.
Yeah, It's almost like...
It's not separating, it's unity.
Yeah, well, if that's how God sees you, then you're basically seeing the same as God, that there is already a finished act taking place and that you're dead. And, I mean, if that's...
Well, right, you're not trying to be.
Yeah.
But as long as you are paying attention to this body of sin and death... Then, and because you found something in it that you think is good, then by definition, I mean, we forget that this tree, the curse, came not from eating the fruit of the tree of evil, which is what we, essentially, that's the takeaway from what most preachmen is. It's eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the curse.
That will lead to your death.
It's already led to your death.
Yeah. Because that is what separates right there.
So the only union that I'm interested in being is with God. And God said everything except our minds is holy and perfect. But because we have the capacity for self-awareness, we spend an eternity in this useless, fruitless, childish struggle. Oh, this has come over me, and this is what I want, and this is what I feel. Blah, blah, blah.
It's the 30-year-olds walking around in diapers with bottles.
That's right.
Is separation tied to
more like 60-year-olds. What?
Separation
or 70-year-olds.
To judgment.
What?
Separation, judgment, tied together.
Well, if there's any separation, then by definition, you're in the judgment seat.
Right. That's what I was trying to... You focus on things because you have a judgment about it, and that causes separation.
let's look at the prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That what we think is the Lord's Prayer is the disciples' prayer. Let's look at the Lord's Prayer, John 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Now, well, I could spend the 10 Bible studies on that, what that means. But, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name these who thou hast given me, that they may be one, so as we are. Now, that's everything. That they may be one. There's no separation. It's one. Not that I'm going to make you one someday, or that because he's already finished the work. You are already one with the Father. The only place you're an enemy of that is your mind. And for some mysterious reason, God has said that some must be, you must be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is not optional when you die, but for some unknown reason, there has to be some still alive that are one before the end comes. And that's what it means, that we're filling up the affliction that's lacking in the body. When you die, physically die, there'll be no doubt that the oneness has always been there. There'll never be a time when you weren't one. There'll never be you'll be able to see clearly the idiocy of everything we've just studied. I mean, the truth of everything we've just studied in Ecclesiastes. And you will be able to see clearly the idiocy of all your little tricks and cunning devices to gain attention and self-realization. But the point of it is, you're already one. It's not that you are. It's not, the only place that you're, if you believe what Paul said, the only place you're an enemy is in your mind. Now, my job, it says, as is anyone else, is really, is to present you perfect in Christ. Well, that's either already done or it's an impossible task. All you have to see is there anything that I'm willing to trade this for in order that I can be right for a minute? Or in order that I can have a sweet thought in some fantasy world? Or in order that I can feel like I'm... You know what I mean. And that's all it is. You're already one. You've already been perfected by one offering. You already own all things. All things in the universe already exist for your sake. Okay, if you don't yet apprehend that, it means all it doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're still a child. The heir, so long as it is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. But you're a child, you're transforming, being transformed from a child to oneness isn't a function of time. It's a function of your own integrity. Integrity just means, and it comes from integer, which seeing means seeing everything as one. Everybody's shaking their head, yes, nobody's arguing with me? Then live it. What can possibly cause you to be angry? What can possibly cause you to be nervous or anxious? How can you possibly doubt?
How can you not be in joy?
Right, all we look and see is the perfection of His holiness. So with all that in mind, let's go back and reread what we just, the last verse of Ecclesiastes 11. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, or put away the evil of thy flesh. For childhood and youth are also vanity, also empty. Does anybody not know, do you not know that you've been perfected by one offering? Is there anyone that doesn't know that or doubts it?
To me, that's kind of the picture of the work of God, is to have that fact unfold in thousands of ways, which is what we do every morning. We just look at it from another point of view. fact that we've already...
I mean, he doesn't want it to unfold anymore. He wants us to live it. And again, there's no separation between this Bible study and what you're going to do the rest of the day. How if some thought came into your mind right now that said, "Oh, wait a minute," if you've heard anything, then you could easily dismiss it. Then why 5 minutes from now or 5 hours from now? Why if somebody pulls out in front of you, or if some thought tells you that you're not good enough, or anything? Why not dismiss it then? Or by the same token, if some thought comes to you, "Oh, this is good. Oh, Harry knows a lot about that. He has some thought, and whoo, man." And that's good. No, it's not any worse than your deepest, not any different than your worst depression. Because we are not of this world. All that's happening in this world is to find out if any thought, anything can take you away from that mercy seat. That's the only function of time and space.
What are you eating and what are you drinking?
I don't understand.
Where do you get your sustenance?
Oh, where? Oh, it's right. Once you start getting sustenance from dust again, then you're back down to square one. Remember, everything about spirit is digital. It's either all true or it's nothing. It's not time dependent in any way. Time dependent is analog. You're on a by one offering, you have been perfected forever. You own all things. So how can you have a need? All things exist for your purpose. So how can you be a victim? But if you, now I can get goodies, and now I'm a king's kid, then you've missed the whole point of the incarnation. And there's no situation that you can possibly be in that would make what I've said this morning untrue. I pray you understand. Your only job is emptying. You can't empty until you know it's done. Then you empty automatically. Your body didn't have any struggle unless you've got some condition, unless you're sick, getting rid of dung. But your mind has a mind-blowing problem getting rid of it. You're spiritually constipated. Anybody have any thoughts, response?
When you were talking about when you die, it'll be clear. There won't be any doubt. You'll see the idiocy. You'll see the oneness. What came into my mind, I don't know if it relates or not, but what came into my mind is that scene we read about the other night where Joshua is standing there, clothed in filthy garments. And they say to take away the filthy garments, and he's given a new raiment. It's like the body of Christ... These are the dirty raiments on the body of Christ. It's put away this old garment and put on the new garment, I guess.
Go to Romans 14 real quick. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The whole idea, and make you, but someplace else, I thought that said there too, but it doesn't, I don't feel like looking it up, but it's, you make no provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts or wants or desires thereof. I mean, that's why Jesus said, take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for your life, period. Because it's His good joy to give you everything. With no effort on your part. Because if you're still working it, then the reward is no longer reckoned of grace, but all of a sudden it becomes an insufferable debt. And then you start compromising, coping.
That's why if in hearing anything, we hear it as something to do, then we've
heard wrong.
Put the cross down. Said Jesus didn't need to do that and go about trying to finish His work. But all we can do is hear it and agree that it's God's work.
Well, the sacrifice of His Son met every possible situation. All right, take a big guy.